Certainly glad that you're here again this evening. I invite you to follow along with us on the charts that we're going to have tonight as we talk about another Bible subject. We won't preach too long tonight because of the meeting they're going to have afterwards. But I invite you to follow along with us tonight for a few moments. Several weeks ago, I was looking on the internet and reading about how many people lie today on their applications. Sort of curious about that. Lynn, she used to work in personnel at the Board of Education, and I know it takes a long time to check different things, and maybe people after a while decide not to check various things concerning people on application. There's a lot of people that lie on their applications, maybe about the type of schooling they had. I think maybe it was one candidate for Senate this time. I think he put on there that he went to MIT. I guess he wanted to shoot the works there. You know, if you're going to go to an engineering school and lie about going to an engineering school, you'd want to go ahead and just lie about going to one of the top engineering schools, I guess. And that seems like that's maybe what he did, as well as other folks. And, of course, when you think about people lying, maybe the other thing that's really prominent in our society today, especially in the underground economy, is how many people lie maybe about their tax returns. And certainly seen articles on the underground economy and how much money would be generated if those folks just paid their fair share in taxes, that don't maybe pay any taxes whatsoever right now. Well, every now and then, when you get to the point where you need a sermon, one of the things that I do on different occasions is something I was taught years ago by another older preacher, and that is go to strong. And when you go to Strong's, look up one of the words that maybe you want to study. And you'll find out in many cases that you'll be able just to build a sermon out of the different texts that you find, maybe in a concordance like Strong's. So that's what I did. Tonight's subject about Bible liars. In Revelation chapter 22 and in verse 15 it says, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." We see over in John and in chapter 8 and in verse 44. It says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we see that even with the devil, the truth is foreign to the devil because there is no truth in the devil. So what I want to do is just take you through some passages that I found in Strong's and to make some application regarding this concerning that of Bible liars. One of the first that I found, when you talk about a Bible liar is one who adds to the Word of God. Found this over in Proverbs and in chapter 30 and in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you." And there it is. underlined it for you. You be found a liar. Do not add to these words. Well, maybe we ask the question. As we look at the idea of in Proverbs 30 and in verse 8, to remove falsehood and lies far from me. Well, what are those who, well, let's see. Maybe I add Mary as a mediator to Christ's work. Several people in the congregation now. I think we have several people that might even be visiting now. I think a young couple is visiting this morning from the Catholic Church, or at least they have some Catholic background. And one of the first things you begin to realize in the Catholic Church is how important that Mary is. That Mary is the mediator between God and man. We talk about the Immaculate Conception of Mary. That's not talking about the birth of Christ. That's talking about the birth of Mary. Or her perpetual virginity. We see that in the Catholic doctrine. Over in Matthew and in chapter 1, though, and in verses 24 and 25, Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 24 and 25, we see in verse 24 it says, "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary to be his wife. And he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." We see concerning Jesus, evidently he had several brothers and sisters in Matthew and in chapter 13. And in verses 55 and 56, Matthew 13, verses 55 and 56, it says, verse 55, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" And then it even talks about in verse 56 that he had a plurality of sisters. I believe the Catholic Church tries to get around this by saying, well, these are Jesus' cousins. These weren't actually brothers and sisters of Jesus, but these were Jesus' cousins, and therefore Mary had a perpetual virginity. But we see here in the Bible that Jesus had brothers and sisters. In 1 Timothy and in chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So that gives us information on who the mediator is, and it's not Mary. In fact, I believe they go on to even teach even today that Mary's commands are to be obeyed, even to the point of God obeying Mary's commands. And I'd even show that to you later on, if you'd like to even know concerning that. We also see various things here regarding maybe adding opinion or tradition to the gospel. Maybe they had adding instrumental music to the New Testament worship, adding a social, recreational element to the work of the church. Boy, we could get a lot more people in here if we could build a softball field out back and maybe have 10 or 12 teams, softball teams, and maybe once or twice a year, those fellas might even
might even come to church that plays softball. Or maybe even subtract baptism from the gospel message. And of course, when you find out what to do to be saved, or that of salvation, whether the verb save or the noun salvation, you can just go through the Bible or even go through Strong's and see in the New Testament what you need to do in order to be saved. And one of the things you'll see regarding this is that you need to be baptized. But a lot of people, they try to remove that and try to add something else. Well, number two, a Bible liar. A Bible liar is one who claims to know God, and doesn't keep his commandments. Just looking further in Strong's over in 1 John and in chapter 2 and in verses 3 and 4, I found this one here. Here's the word liar in this. It says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So there's that word again, liar. So found another one here concerning a Bible liar. Well, what about this person? What is this person who says, "I know him," over in Titus and in chapter 1? And in verse 16, Titus chapter 1 and in verse 16. It says in Titus 1 and in verse 16, "They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable." I think the older version even goes as far, sort of a stronger word here to me, to say abominable. These people are abominable. They are an abomination. They are disobedient, worthless for any good deed. They claim to know God, but by their deeds, they deny him. Well, what do you see here? Well, certainly things that we involve ourselves in many times, maybe that of repenting. See a person that says, "I'm a Christian. I know God." But their life is so immoral. Their life is so immoral, you know that that's not the case. You know they haven't repented of their sins because they continue on in their sins. They glory in their sins. In fact, they glory probably in the sins of other people as well. So we know that they would be a Bible liar. A person that hasn't been immersed in the water as of yet. You can see passages over and over again here in Acts and in chapter 8 and in verses 38 and 39. Acts chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39. It says in verse 38, "He ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing." We see the importance of being baptized into Christ, but there's a lot of folks that aren't ever baptized into Christ, but yet they say, I know the Lord. I know that I am with the Lord. I know that the Lord is with me. But they haven't obeyed what the Lord would have them to do. It might be something like partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Maybe some people practice that, other people do not. Maybe they practice maybe quarterly. Maybe they practice on Easter and Christmas. It might be they don't practice this at all. "I don't need to partake of the Lord's Supper." Well, you understand, they're a Bible liar. A person who does not give as he has been prospered with a joyful with a joyful heart. A lot of people give as they're prospering, but they don't have a joyful heart about it. And again, that was a person that does not truly know the Lord. And we could just go right down a list like this. A third point here concerning a Bible liar. One who claims to have fellowship with God, and yet he or she walks in darkness. That would be a Bible liar. Well, I found a passage concerning that, in fact. Over in 1 John, and in chapter 1, in verses 5 through 7, there in Strong's, it says again concerning a liar. Verse 5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness," I'm sharing with Christ. But at the same time I'm sharing with Christ, I'm walking in darkness. I'm not, sing a song sometimes, "Take time to be holy." Well, I'm not trying to be holy. I'm not trying to be holy at all. But still, I say, I have fellowship with God and with his Son, and I'm not trying to be holy at all. He says here that we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See here on a little chart concerning this. And all of a sudden here we're walking. We're walking in darkness. We understand what that means, to walk in darkness. That I am a Christian though. That I know God. I have fellowship with Jesus Christ. But at the same time I do all these things. Maybe I practice all these things between 9:30 and 11:30 on Sunday, as we talked about this morning. Maybe I practice all these things, but the rest of the time I am practicing sin. Maybe I'm guilty of envy. Maybe I'm guilty of lying. Maybe I have an unscriptural divorce. Maybe I commit adultery or fornication or involved in stealing or drug or alcohol abuse. Maybe I cheat. Maybe I speak evil concerning mankind. Maybe I'm guilty of laziness or pride. And I'm just involved in practicing all these types of sin. He says here, you can't have fellowship with God and do this. Because if you say you're in fellowship with God and you're walking in darkness, it states here in this verse that you lie. You're a Bible liar. Goes on. Talk about this as well. That the person who walks in the light, God, he has fellowship, had fellowship with the apostles, sent the Holy Spirit, sent the message down, the Holy Spirit, for the apostles to write that down, and for you and I, one day in the future, as we came along, that we were able to practice, we were able to practice the truth, that we were able to love God, to love other people, to love the brethren, that we are illuminated by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we practice godliness, holiness, and truth. Well, looked a little further. Seemed like there was something else in Strong's regarding a Bible liar. Talks about a Bible liar as one who claims to love God and hates his brother. A lot of these passages are found in 1 John, it seems like. 1 John chapter 4, in verses 20 and 21, it says, if someone says, "I love God," and at the same time hates his brother. Here's that word again. It says he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, for he who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother too. In fact, he talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. If you have anything against your brother, before you come and you offer a sacrifice to me, you go and you make it right with your brother over and over again in the Word of God, especially in the New Testament. They deal with this issue, this problem of making it right with your brother. So, what am I supposed to do? Well, I don't gossip about my brother. I'm not going to be one who refuses to talk to his brother or will not forgive his brother or slander his brother. I'm not the judge. But I don't know how many people are going to lose their souls because of this. I think about splits in the local church. Maybe a split like they had at Taylor Boulevard over 50 years ago. And not only was there a split involved, but there was hatred among the people after that, to where they hated each other. And to think about that now at my age, how in the world are those people going to go to heaven on either side if they hate their brother? Equals out to be a liar. In fact, in James chapter 5 and in verse 9, it says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." It's not going to be long. It's not going to be long for me. It's not going to be long for you, the end of our life. It's going to come and go just like, well, he talks about like a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, then it vanisheth away. And the question is regarding this. I bring a sacrifice to God every week. I bring a gift to God every week. But do I have something still against my brother? If you do, then make it right. Well, one other here, and the lesson will be yours for tonight. Looked in there and found a fifth liar. One who does not believe. This found in 1 John again. A lot of liar talk in 1 John. Chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You know, even as a young fella growing up with just limited Bible knowledge years ago, I always wondered about people that would talk about the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Was Hitler the Antichrist? Was Saddam Hussein the Antichrist? Who's going to be the Antichrist? And even as a young man, I could figure out that there were Antichrists back during John's time when he was writing this. What was the problem here? Well, the problem here was the many Gnostics had alleged that Jesus and Christ were two different persons. Christ descended on Jesus, they say, when Jesus was baptized. And before Jesus started suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, I guess part of the Gnostic doctrine is that when Jesus started to suffer in the Garden of Gethsemane, that the Christ part left him again. And all that was left here was the Jesus part. And this was a teaching that they were teaching the Christians at this time. And John says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? They didn't believe that Jesus could be Christ and suffer. Well, that's about our time for tonight. Just a real quick lesson on the subject of Bible liars and how you just come about a subject like that. But we understand that we need to believe this testimony that God has given us. In John chapter 3 and in verse 16, it says in that famous verse, God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In John chapter 5 and in verse 23, says in John 5 verse 23, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Do you want to do that tonight? Do you want to be obedient to Christ tonight by being buried in Christ in baptism? By repenting of your sins? Maybe coming back to the Lord once again? Whatever your need might be, come right now while together we stand and we sing.